This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by touringplans.com. And I'll tell you, people, you know, it's right now. What week are we in? We're the week between Christmas and New Year's, the most crowded time at Walt Disney World. And you may not be there this week, but regardless if you're here this week or you're there next week, 2 weeks, 2 months, doesn't matter when you're going to Disney World, it is crowded. And I'll tell you, the solution to getting around those long lines, beating everybody up. No, it's not that. It's going to be using touringplans.com. That's right. Less violence and a whole lot cheaper. No legal fees required. TouringPlans.com's got all what you need to be able to see everything and do everything without waiting for everything. In fact, when you use TouringPlans.com on your trip, I bet you you're going to be the hero of your family and say, wow, I can't believe we did all that. Thanks, dude who happens to live with us who bought this stuff. That's amazing. TouringPlans.com. Check them out right now. Go to TouringPlans.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Monday, December 29th, 2014, and this is episode 1440 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudiosCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a blogger for TouringPlans.com, and he's also the co-host and the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Don't worry, we're going to travel as a group.
Nemo, Under the Sea with Nemo and Friends.
Finding Nemo the Musical.
Yeah. And that was my next guess if you didn't say no, so. I'll take it. Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, Matt, since not everyone tunes into the live show, welcome to the final Monday show.
Yes, ooh. For those who missed the memo on the live show. Starting January 1, we will be converting over to a once-a-week format. So we'll have one show out on Wednesday. So, yes, savor it while you can. Last Monday show forever.
And ever.
Nice. On today's show, we're talking – Len is – I don't know where he is.
He's in New York City. New York City.
On today's show, we are talking about little things in Walt Disney World. Not little, actually. Some of them are very expensive. But things in Walt Disney World that what you have to do to make them worthwhile. And, you know, we get this question a lot. And we thought, you know what? Let's do a topic just on this one. There's a lot of them. And actually, Mr. Scopa, I knew you came up with this idea. And one of the first ones was length of stay mugs. So basically, when we're talking about this and other items that are going to be coming down the pipeline here, we're talking about what you have to do to basically be – to make it worth your money, so to speak, right?
Yeah, the thing is, Matt, there are a lot of options open to guests, and I'm sure that a lot of guests who do not go as frequently as they have wonder if it's well worth it. And I think the best way to start is to talk about the length of stay mugs that you can purchase at your resort, and you purchase the mug and you can fill it. I'm not sure exactly how it works. I don't purchase them, but I'm sure that there's a limit as to how many times you can fill it during your stay. But for a lot of people, they think about, you know, is it worth it? You know, especially if you have children who are constantly thirsty or whatever. So I think that that's a good place to start.
Okay, absolutely. So length of stay mug. Now, these are the mugs that you can purchase to use at resorts to refill unlimited amount of times with the soft drink machine. So you can get soda, iced tea and other, you know, drinks, so forth. So what do you guys think you need to make it worthwhile, in your opinion, for it to be worth it?
Drink a lot of soda.
I mean, do you think?
I mean, it's $18 for a length of stay.
$18. That's per day, right?
No, for the length of stay.
Length of stay. Now, it changes. I think it's $9 for one day.
Right.
12 for the second, right. 15 for three, and then like Mike said, it's 18 for length of stay. So if you're staying for a week, might be worthwhile.
Yeah, so basically it breaks down to about, if you figure a drink at Disney World, a soda drink or fountain drink is about $2.50, give or take, for easier math, it's about $7 and some change in terms of the amount of times you'd have to use it to quote-unquote break even. So if you're there for a week, like you said, Mike, if you use it at least once a day, you've essentially broken even on the price, right? And the thing with it, and we've kind of talked about this before, the problem isn't that using it. It's the fact that, unfortunately, you're just not around the resort all that often to use it because you cannot use it in the parks.
Exactly, exactly. So you have to think, okay, when would you most use it? You probably, and I'm not sure if it's just for, I mean, you can't, like go for breakfast. Let's say you were staying at, I don't know, the Polynesian, and you decided to have breakfast at Captain Cook's. I guess if you're having soda at breakfast, I guess it's worth it. But for the most of the time, you know, you have to think about, okay, how often am I going to be at the resort?
Well, if you,
and, you know, is it going to be used once a day?
I mean, if you use it twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening, you'll definitely make your money's worth on there. And obviously, if you go above and beyond that, that's even better. The real problem, I guess, is just the fact that, you know, you go, you can get your drink, right? You fill it up, you go back to your room, you run out of said drink. You know, it's kind of a, like, are you going to walk all the way back just to get another refill? Probably not.
No.
But again, if you use it twice, I would say, you know, once in the morning, once in the evening, you know, or at least once before you go to the parks and once after you come back from the parks, because you're already kind of there, essentially. That's not a bad option. It's probably actually, you know what, also, Mike, it's actually a better option for people that are resort guests. Because if it's like you or I who drive ourselves when we rent a car, we're going to go straight to our building. We don't stop at the main building. We don't park at the main building.
Right.
And you know, but other people are going to go, literally, they're going to walk past it probably. Whereas you or I or someone who's renting a car is not going to be in that case. So actually, people that use Disney transportation are going to be also better. I think it's going to be more worth it for them in terms of making it a better sell, so to speak.
And if I have my car, I'm stopping at the Hess Express and bringing soda back to the room. So.
Yeah, you're a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next one, annual passes.
Yeah, we've talked about this many, many times. And as the years have gone on, there have been more and more questions regarding, you know, is it worth it? And the big question is, what is the break-even point for annual passes? And I think that in the past, what we've said is that the break-even point for annual passes depends upon exactly what type of resort you're staying at, be it deluxe, moderate, value. It has a lot to do with where you stay and when you stay and how long you stay. So it's not just a black and white answer. And we've talked about that in the past. Usually, when we talk break even, it's usually a lot, quicker to break even if you're staying at the deluxe resorts because of the amount of money you save on your AP, rates.
Absolutely. And usually it's somewhere, I think, in the ballpark of about 10 days, give or take.
Right.
And it can vary in terms of, obviously, if you, depending on how many discounts you use and above and beyond just the fact that it's going to get you in the park. But right around 10 days is usually the good number to look at. And beyond that, you're kind of starting to, you know, do some crazier math. And I think a lot of people start getting the 8 to 9 day range. They're like, you know, is it worth it? Yeah, it can be. It depends on how, again, if you use those other discounts, right? The resort discounts for the, that annual passes come with, all the little discounts like dining, merchandise. I mean, they're going to add up a lot slower, but they can be ways, again, save a little money here and there, and it can be worth your while. And of course, the other thing we talk about is a lot of times we'll get calls and be like, hey, you know, we've got a trip planned in, you know, whenever. And, you know, it's going to be like 8 or 9 days. And then the question becomes, well, you know, if you have the annual pass, you know, it's for a lot of people, especially us, it kind of burns a hole in your pocket, right? And you don't want to be – if you buy the annual pass and then there's some – let's say some crazy airfare deal comes up or you get some extra time off work, whatever. You have the opportunity to go back down there potentially. You've got the annual pass. Now you've got an opportunity to get down there again. And then you're – you know, whereas if you don't get an annual pass, you won't take that trip. He's like, ah, I'm not paying extra for tickets.
Well, you know, this is one of those deals where, like most of the other things that we'll be discussing, where you really have to sit down and think about exactly how you're going to spend your vacation. You need to think about where you're going to eat, if you're going to buy souvenirs, and you really have to do the math to sometimes come up with a real solid decision, yes or no, on a lot of these things. When you're talking about the annual pass, like you said, there are things that a lot of people don't understand about annual passes. For instance, 50% on golf. You can get 10% on some meals. You can get 10% on merchandise. If you add it all up, then it's well worth it. And I think you're right, Matt. I think if every time I'm asked that question, I say it depends. Between 8 and 10 days is really the line, the threshold there. And you have to sit down and think about where you're going to eat, where you're going to stay, how long you're going to stay, and then make up your mind. But for the most part, they're really, really worth it. Even if it's just one member of the household that buys it just for the room, you know, sometimes it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Master of the House. Absolutely. Let's go to Tables in Wonderland. And that's, of course, the discount card that's available to annual pass holders and or Florida residents. It basically gets you a cool 20% off your sit-down restaurants. And I think, well, it almost goes without saying, but we should mention it, probably to make it worthwhile for you, you need to be eating at a lot of table service restaurants. Not that many, but, you know, you can't be eating at Everything Pop for a week and then get the card. It's totally useless to you.
Yeah, you know, I think I've been a Tables in Wonderland holder for the last 5 or 6 years. And, I really, mine just ran out right after, reunion, and I'm going back in about a week and a half, and I'm going to buy it because I just know that I'll be there often enough and I'll eat at enough restaurants or visit enough lounges so that it'll be worth it. And the other 20% is, again, food and beverage and includes alcohol. There's about 100 restaurants that honor it. And as far as I know, the discount is valid for a party of up to 10, I think. It's still 10. And Matt, you've used the valet, complimentary valet parking with it. I know you have. So there's a whole bunch of, that's one of those deals where, like you said, if you use it at, it's not just at sit-down restaurants. If you go to a resort that has no sit-down restaurants, they honor it at the food court. So you can get 10% off at, I think I've gotten 10% off at French Quarter, and I believe you can get 10% off at the All-Stars and at Pop Century and at Landscape of Flavors. So yeah, so all things Pop. I think you can get.
Yeah, and the cost is, you know, somewhere it's about $100 now for annual pass holders. I think $125 for Florida residents.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, that requires a fair amount of sit down meals for you to essentially break even on. But I think, again, it's kind of one of those things where I think if you're the kind of person who's eating a sit down meal every day of your trip, and you've got an annual pass, you're probably a candidate for this. But if you're eating a fair amount of counter service meals, you know, that's a different story, and obviously that can be an issue. But I think you just got to be the kind of person who's always eating, again, and by a lot, I mean, you know, once a day, and mostly, you know, majority of your meals there, it could definitely make sense.
Well, think of it this way. If you purchase an annual pass, and you're probably going to be at Walt Disney World 8 to 10 days. Now, if you're going to be at Walt Disney World 8 to 10 days, you're going to spend – at least $500 if you spend on food and drink.
Yeah.
Most likely you are. That's between $50 a day and or more. And I'm sure that a lot of people do, especially if you're the head of a family. Like, yep. Matt, if you take your family there, you know, if you have a meal at a very good restaurant, you're talking probably $100. So there's $20 right there. That's 20% of the cost of Tables in Wonderland. So think about it as if you're going to spend at least $500 is the break even. Then after that, it's all, you know, it's all gravy. You're really getting, you're getting your money's worth. So that's the threshold you think of, $500.
Yeah. And don't forget, you say $500 is a lot of money on food. Don't forget, you go to an average sit down meal at Walt Disney World. I mean, four people, you're easily dropping probably $30 to $40 a person. Because if you look at the prices, that's what they're commanding for most sit-down meals. So it's not that hard to get up to that number, really.
Yeah. So if you have a family of four, and let's say you have the family of four includes two teenagers, and you're let's say $30. So 30 times four is 120. Now you're saving $24. That's one quarter of the cost of Tables in Wonderland. So it really is something for a lot of people to think about. Again, it's something that is tied to the annual pass. So you have to think about that too.
Let's move on to the Memory Maker. Memory Maker is that new little option for PhotoPass where it allows you basically to combine a bunch of what used to be just PhotoPasses into kind of a all-inclusive thing. And for me, I think really the thing that makes it worthwhile for Memory Maker is if you can go with a lot of people, and even if you're not even going with a lot of people, together with a group, right? So if Newell and I are going down there and we were going to both be down there, if we could link our Magic bands together, our My Disney Experience, if we can get the Magic Maker on both accounts, and now Mike and I can both take advantage of Memory Maker, and again, then the price greatly comes down because that really makes a difference in terms of the value, so to speak. Because it's hard, I think, unless you're just doing nothing but character meet and greets and ride photos for just one family, I mean, you got to take a lot of photos for it to be worth it. But when you start, if you're down there with, it's your family, another family and your folks and some other people that you can all, as long as you can link them all together, we've heard some great stories on this podcast, in fact, from some of our listeners that they've been able to link them all together and really just, it just becomes like, you know, no question, no brainer really in terms of the memory maker being worth it.
Yeah, I think it's very worthwhile for a young family or growing family to think about this, especially now. I believe they're having a special that you can purchase Memory Maker online for about I think it's $169 if you buy it in advance, and if it's $199. So think about all the places you go. Every time you see a PhotoPass person, photographer, bang, take a picture with all the photographers and everything, and you don't have to bother bringing a camera. Everybody's in the photo. I think for a young family, family going for the very first time, family that is wants a wants historical photos of as the kids are growing up, as the family is visiting. I really think it's a I really think it's worth it.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So good stuff. How about, this is one near and dear to both of our, all of our hearts, since we all just recently stayed here. How about concierge level rooms?
That's a tough one, because I mean, in my experience with Reunion, it wasn't worth it because I barely used it.
Yeah,
too much.
Yeah, you know? Let's be honest. First of all, you're never going to get a, from a value standpoint, you're never, it's never going to be quote unquote worth it, and you're never going to break even unless you just eat and consume an ungodly amount of cookies and Coca-Cola. So like, I mean, short of that, it's not. But it is a, it's a perk and it's a luxury. And one of the great things about it, if you have a family and you can squeeze like four people into a room or even five, I mean, it's a great way to skip breakfast, because when we were at the Polynesian every morning, my wife took my daughter over there and we all got, you know, croissants and some fruit. And it was a great complimentary way to start our day. And it saved us, you know, a good amount of money. We didn't have to go to, you know, Publix and go get cereal or anything. We had breakfast every morning. And like you said, Mike, we were barely in the room otherwise, but you know, for families that are otherwise there, yeah, you can save a little bit of money. It's convenience, because obviously it's right by the room. And on top of it, it's also a little bit of money saving. I mean, granted, you still pay a lot for it compared to, you know, it would be better for us to have gone to Publix, but it's about that convenience factor. That's what you're paying for.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think as long as you're staying, you're planning on spending a lot of time in the resort, that can be a great way for you to make it a worthwhile investment.
And I've stayed at the Animal Kingdom Poly on a non-reunion trip, and we made total use of it. So,
Did you say Animal Kingdom Poly?
Yeah, you stayed at the Animal Kingdom Poly.
I stayed at the Animal Kingdom. Shut up.
Yeah,
the Animal Kingdom Concierge.
Is that one better, Mike, than the Poly?
That's a really good question. It's different. I mean, the food options are different. I
was never there for I mean, I was never there for dinner. So what do they serve at dinner time?
At the Animal Kingdom Lodge?
Or at the Poly? Were either one of you there? I was never there.
No.
They have different things. It varies. Like one night it was sushi. I was never there either, but I'm aware of it. One night is sushi. One night actually is something from Ohana, some sort of a skewer. And then other nights it's, it basically changes every night. So there's a menu and you actually can get to it. You can go actually check out our good friend, Steve Seifert's website, tikimanpages.com. He's got a link to all the menus there. So they have a little bit, it's actually the best one, because the other ones are more, much less awesome stuff that's available for you.
Less awesome.
Yes. So, the Polynesian.
Of course, except at Boardwalk. Settle down, Scabetta.
But it's a perk. That's what it's about. And if I think, again, like anything, it behooves you to spend as much time at the resort as you can. That's really the key to making it worthwhile.
Right.
So, what are we saying? I'm saying thumbs down.
I mean, it can be. I think there has to be a thumbs up at some point. I think it's a perk. It's like, hey, I've got some money to spend here. I want to have a nice time. But if you are, then we should say that you should spend a lot of time at the resort. You shouldn't be up at 7 a.m. and back at midnight. It's going to do you no good.
Right. Unless you stop in the middle of the day and go back to the room, then you could, yeah, you can make it work.
All right. Lastly, we're going to end on a real doozy here. Oh, one of our favorite topics ever to talk about on the podcast, the Disney dining plan.
Wah, wah.
Now, on the Disney dining plan, you know, it's funny because we come full circle, because I believe on the Disney dining plan, the refillable mugs are included. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure.
You might be right. Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think there are. I think it depends on the plan, Mike. I just forget which one.
Yeah, you might be right, Matt.
Yeah. Here's the thing about the dining plan that can be worth it. If you can get a number of people in your room, like more than two, usually three, four, even five, that's even better. If you're going to be eating a lot of what would otherwise be expensive meals to pay for cash, so a lot of character meals, that's a great way to be worthwhile. So again, that young family demographic people are going with, they're going to be just doing a lot of character meals. You know, you're just going nothing but Crystal Palace to Chef Mickey's to Norway. I mean, you're just doing a lot of those. That can really be worth it. And, you know, and obviously assuming you, let's forget like the premium plan that's got, you know, the two tables, just the regular old, you know, classic plan, so to speak. For that one, again, not leaving any credits on the table, not even a snack credit. You got to use them all. And also making sure that you, use up, you know, you're not using your table service credits for two table service credits. Those never make any sense. But as long as you follow those kind of rules, yeah, it could definitely save you money. But again, it's something Mike said earlier, Scopa, which was, of course, you've got to do the math and see if it is going to work out for you. But as long as you can plan ahead and really kind of, you know what you're going to be doing, it can be worthwhile for you. You just don't assume it's going to be worthwhile for you. That's always what we're always talking about on this podcast, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know if this price is accurate, but I believe it's the regular dining plan is about $59 per adult and $19 per child. And then it changes from there depending upon the plan. So I'm sure, you know, someone like our friend AJ has a lot more on her site, mm-hmm. the Disney Food Blog, on exactly what is. This is, again, one of those deals where you need to compare the Disney Dining Plan to Tables in Wonderland.
If you're an annual pass holder.
Annual pass holder, again, it's $100 for Tables in Wonderland for annual pass holders and DVC members. But for Florida resident, the Tables in Wonderland is, I believe it's $125, Matt.
Yep. I think it's just, here's the thing, don't assume. That's all. I think there's too many people that just assume that the dining plan is a good value and worth it, and they just jump on it without really thinking about it. So you just have to make sure you're aware and you do the proper planning, and hey, it can be worthwhile. So that's all. That's really what it comes down to. And, you know, we're not even going to talk about free dining. That's probably something that would take another 10 minutes here, but we're going to just talk about the regular old, you know, out of pocket dining plan. And if you do the math on it, yeah, it can definitely be a good, worthwhile. It's just a matter of you making sure that you're going to be taking full advantage of the program. That's all.
And, you know, the other thing, when you say talk about taking advantage of the program, that means being very proactive and making your ADRs prior to your, you know, getting to Orlando, because that's another part of the deal that that's part of the planning. We've been talking about that for the whole show, that if you're going to go this route, you need to be aware that the best way to make use of it is to go to the restaurants that you get the best, you know, the best bang for your dollar.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I think it's going to wrap things up here for this last ever episode of WW Today on Monday. I probably should have said Monday before I said last ever, because anyway, our sponsor, of course, is touringplans.com. And boy, howdy, you know, those crowds of Walt Disney World, you know, what is worthwhile, honestly, is a touringplans.com subscription, just a couple dollars for an entire year. So whether you're going down, you know, maybe you're going out for marathon weekend and then you're going to be going down again Star Wars weekends or in the fall, next Christmas, doesn't matter, because you're covered the entire year. It's just, I mean, it's really just a couple dollars for the entire year. It's not like I'm asking, you know, $50, $100. No. Much, much more inexpensive than that. It's a great deal, in fact, and it can get you the opportunity for your family to see everything and do everything without waiting for everything. It's really that simple. Just check them out right now at touringplans.com. Also, don't forget, you can email us questions@wdwday.com. You got any questions, comments, thoughts about Walt Disney World? We want to hear about it. We love opinions. We can't get enough of them. So we want to hear yours as well.
Except the bad ones.
What's that?
Except the bad ones. Right. Keep those to yourself.
We love hearing from our listeners. So if you guys have any questions, thoughts, please email us questions@wdwday.com. For Len Tessel, Mike Sopa, and Mike McNeil, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Mike McNeil.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.